Heavenly Father, again, we come to you and thank you for this time, the Lord, that we can come and worship you and open this precious book and read the words of God. My Father, I pray for the power that's needed as I do what you called me to do. I'm fixing to do what you called me to do. These other things, Lord, are just benefits. The other things in my takes my time is just things offered beyond that. But this is what you called me to do. I can't do it without you. I pray for the power of God. I pray, Lord, as we studied, that studying has been enough for you to commune to my heart, that I would be able to say those things and give to these people and those who listen by radio and those on the upstream, the Lord, those words that you would have said about yourself. Honor yourself through this frail body today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn, first of all, if you will, to Job chapter 5. I'm going to be flipping quickly through the scriptures because I'm going to read a number of scriptures to start with before I actually give you my message title here this morning. We live in an age today that there is a tendency to feel through much of the media and religious organizations that if you're saved and you're living like you want to live before God, you want to have the best health in this world. You want to be healthy and live to be 100 years old and never have to see a doctor or anything else in life if you listen to what many folks are saying. But you know, this Bible has a lot to say that even you and I say, there's things that sin will bring in our way, either in our lives at times we have to confess or in society that we have to face. There's things that you have to face at times that you didn't have anything to do with, but sin in society did. And so as I go through these scriptures quickly, notice all Job chapter 5, verse 7 said, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Do you think that's true? Amen. Amen. He says, I do. He says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." In chapter 14, quickly, as we turn over in verse 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." You don't have to be mighty old to realize that Bible verse is true too. Life comes and goes fast. There's a lot of problems we have to face in this particular life, and therefore we need to be ready when God Almighty calls us home. In Psalms, look with me in Psalms 116, if you will. In Psalms 116 and down 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're looking at some things about, first of all, we're looking at general what God says about what's going to happen in this life because of sin and because you and I are just born in a depraved, sinful world. He says in verse 3, "The sorrow of death," as the psalmist speaks, "the sorrow of death compassed me and the pains of hell get upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. Righteousness, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Go back to Psalms 18 for just a moment and look with me in Psalms 18 and verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. The psalmist said, and this is David speaking now, we've seen things in general about life and trouble and sorrows and trials that we have to face in this life. And there are many times, the psalmist said that, you know, the gates of hell come to him and get upon him. He said, "I will love the Lord." David did, though. "O Lord, my strength." In all of this mess that we're in this life, David said, "The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I say, be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." Isn't that interesting? You think if God has ever these things in verse 2 to him, why would he be afraid? Because no matter how strong God is in our heart at one time, this flesh is still weak. And there are things you and I face that shakes us up at times. And when we're shook up, there's a little fear that's there. But then notice, he said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon, there's the secret. I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. If you look also in chapter 31 and down about verse 3, chapter 31 of the book of Psalms, notice verse 1, he said, O Lord, do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust? Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteous. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. But here he said he was his strong heart. Here, his strong rock. Here he said, be my strong rock. And then in verse 3, he convinced himself again, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. He said in verse 10, for my life is spent with grief, and my years sighing, my strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was reproached among all my enemies. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to my acquaintance, that they that did see me without fled from me. In these verses, we're seeing the description of how life is, as far as the psalmists are concerned, including David. In Psalms chapter 46, and again in verse 1, here we see the psalmist saying this. He says, God is our refuge. And this is where we're coming to. I've showed you these verses before that show the calamity and the problems and the sorrow and the trial and things that we face in this life. And every bit of it is because of sin, which Satan started back in Adam and Eve's life in the garden. But he says here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 142, verse 5, he says, O Lord, thou art my refuge. In Psalm 91, verse 2 and verse 9, he says, he is my refuge. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, Moses said, the eternal God is thy refuge. In all of this mess that we're in, the eternal God is thy refuge. My message this morning is God is our refuge. I don't care where we're at. I don't care where we're in, what we face, what we see. God is our refuge. The word refuge means that our place of shelter and place of protection from danger when things come. And by the way, this is a dangerous world you and I are living in. And we're like to be faced with something. We may have the best feeling right now you could have and feel like you're just, you know, on top of the world, but less than just a few minutes after you leave this building or before we leave this building, chaos could set in and your or my world be turned upside down at that particular time. I think about our refuge. We know what refuges are. We see people in some foreign countries, they have to leave their country because it's so bad to live in. And they moved to other countries, and a lot of folks left as refugees to come to our country. I read a story where a couple was forced to leave their country and finally went to another country, and they finally worked out where they could come to America after years. And when they got here, even after they came to this country, after years of studying and red tape, they finally became a citizen in America. And they waited for their citizenship, and one day after about 6 weeks, the husband came running in. His wife was named Anna. He said, Anna, guess what? At last, you and I are American citizens. She was standing in the kitchen at the sink and washing some dishes and things. And said, are you sure? Yeah, right, here's the papers. We have them now. Listen, Anna, we are right now genuine American citizens. And she says, that's great, honey. And she began to take her apron off. And she walked over and she said, isn't it wonderful, American citizens? That means you can start washing the dishes. Amen. Well, that's not a good thing to be an American citizen for, I guess. But when you places that you don't have freedom, thank God in America you have. But it's the most free place that the world knows of in our day. When all our problems, you see. So our refuge, our protection. In Isaiah chapter 43, in verse 1 through 7, the prophet Isaiah began to talk about some things that happened as far as Israel was concerned. And those he called by name found grace in his sight. In chapter 43, he's talking about the nation of Israel that God's going to restore, even though they have been dispersed at this time. And he's talked to Jacob in verse 1 and also Israel, which is the two tribes that had been split. And he said in verse 2 to them, when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. Notice, he didn't say if you pass through. He didn't say you probably will pass through. He says when you do. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. One thing is for sure, when you're in the deep waters and it's over your head, he's the head, you can never sink him. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. And God says here to Israel, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle thee. We see saw that in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? I am the Lord thy God, thy Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Verse 5, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. He's talking about the great gathering of Israel. In verse 10, ye are my witnesses. Why? Latter part of that verse, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me, but you are my witness, he says in that verse, to tell this world about me. I am the Lord, verse 11, and beside me there is none other. Verse 12, I have declared and have saved and have showed, and when there is no strange God among you, he said, therefore you are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. Israel was a particular and a peculiar treasure to God in the Old Testament, as their job was to tell this world who God was. We are God's property. The Bible teaches us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17, that we are in Christ Jesus. We're God's jewels. The Old Testament saints are God's jewels, been put together for the future. And you see in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, he talks about the saints of God and the righteousness, the fine linen that the saints of God are wearing, which he calls the righteousness of God. Not that we were able to put it on ourselves, not that we were able to establish ourselves, but he has made us that for us, that we would wear the very righteousness of God himself. By the way, that's the only way you can get into heaven anyhow, is to have that type of righteousness. So here we are God's property. We've been bought with a price. We've been paid for, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Israel's Red Sea experiences the truth in God's indestructible plan in our spiritual life. We didn't go through the Red Sea like they did, but that's a type of shadow for us to see that we will face some deep waters. And when you look at waters and fire and things that we have to face, is a way that God uses demonstration of the Old Testament to help us see in our life there are some things spiritual worse than some of the things you see physical. And he gives us the things that we can understand, such as fire and water and things like that. Fire and water are men's two best friends as long as they're under control. They warm us, they cleanse us, they nourish us, they refresh us, even fertilizing things at times when we master them. But the Bible certainly shows us and teaches us when they master us, they consume us, they injure us, they destroy us. Here is something then the same way. When we face the fiery darts of Satan that come sometimes in this life, when we learn to run to the one who is our refuge, one to go to the one who can help us in the time of trouble, and know that his promises are sure, as a matter of fact, to rehearse his promises before him, we know that God is near to us. God's use of these good illustrations are good illustrations of trials and distress. When heavy losses reduce our possessions, when we find ourselves being extinguished of our hope, and when our paths have been rocky and can't seem to go through at times, God is our refuge. When we find that places are hard and we have to depend upon others at times, God is our refuge. It is our help in the time of trouble, Psalms 91, verse 2. He's our refuge when we have grievous disappointments that overtakes us. He's our refuge when there are things that come to extinguish our bright hopes. He's our refuge when our pathways become rocky and things seem to stop us on the way. When bereavement throws its dark shadows over us, he's our refuge. Even special grace may not prevent nor change our path. But sometimes we may be like even Job and not see him at the moment. And I love this when I read about Job. If you turn with me in chapter 23 of the book of Job. You see what I'm talking about as Job gives us his experience in chapter 23. Job said, I've been looking for God. Ever been a time you prayed and you feel where God was at? I guarantee you, if you're in a disaster or a calamity sometime or another and you want to fix change quickly and it doesn't come like you do, you'll find yourself, oh God, where are you at? Why can't my prayers seem to get higher than the ceilings? But here he said, that Job said, Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He said, if I could just find where God's at as he searched him, he said, I'd give my cause to him. I'd make my statement to him about his situation. He said, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that he would say unto me. Look in verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But watch, he knoweth the way that I take. Boy, what an amazing thing. You and I have never been through anything like Job's been through. And Job said, there's a time I looked everywhere. I looked backwards, forwards. I could not find him. If I could have found him, I'd have laid my cause out before him. An accusation, dear God, that this is what I'm facing, and this is where I'm at, and this is how I feel. And he said, I couldn't find him. But notice deep down in his soul, he said, But he, that is God, knoweth the way that I take, and when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Only God can do that, ladies and gentlemen. The world don't understand. Sometime in the deepest valley when you're hurting the worst. Sometimes in the worst place you can find in this life, God Almighty will bring a song to your heart that you wouldn't get in this world. When you're in the wilderness, he brings it there. And at that time, you began to realize the confirmation that God had said, I don't care where you're at, my child. I want you to know I'm still in charge. And I'll stay in charge to the end of time, as far as you're concerned. And then beyond that, because there's no end of time with him. He said, my foot had held his steps. In verse 12, he said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of Zip. Job said, this is where I'm at. I've held his steps. I've kept and not declined. I'm not going back to the commandments of his lip. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I bet you there's not one in here has done God's word that way. He says, I've esteemed the word of God more necessary than the very food that I eat. And he was having to go through, and he said, this time I was searching for him and couldn't find him at that moment. God gives us a wonderful situation about him. He said, therefore, I'm troubled at present when I consider I'm afraid of him. He said, a little fear came, but watch. The next verse, God doesn't tell us a situation without giving us why. He said the next verse, he said, for God maketh my heart soft. You know, when your heart gets soft, when the world gets hard, it's when they want something, God don't seem to come to it. But when you and I face something and we pray and God don't come right then, your heart will be softer and softer and softer. And I guarantee you and I will listen to what God has to say. That's the difference in us and the world. And he goes on, he says, because I was cut off before the darkness, neither had he covered the darkness from my face. Here again, we see God is our refuge. Job in chapter 23. Of Job chapter 9 in verse 11, Job said, lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passes on also, but I perceive him not. But, notice, he said, when tried, he shall come forth as gold. Yes, we may have to go through rough waters. Yes, we may have to go through the fires, but God will deliver us. He's promised that, folks. Listen. We may feel sometimes. We may be hurt at times. You may be hurt by people you didn't think would hurt you. But at the same time, God says, I will bring you through it. You just be sure you keep your focus on me. And Job shows exactly how to do that. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8, Job said, the righteous is delivered out of trouble. In chapter 12, verse 13, he said, the just shall come out of trouble. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 5, he said, fear not, for I am with thee. What I want you to know this morning is this. God is our refuge. Say it again with me. God is our refuge. There's two things I want you to see. And I got to hurry. The first thing is this. Hear me closely. God, please help me here. This goes against a lot of things the world has been taught today. Suffering can lead to the strengthening of our faith. Yeah. And I can prove that biblically. When suffering comes, my question should not be, though I'm in the flesh and you're in the flesh. When I am faced suffering, especially for the cause of Christ, the question should not be, why am I suffering like this, Lord? The question should be in my heart, dear God, what is the purpose of this so I can learn something? Because I know you're there. I know you hear my prayer. I know, dear God, that I've walked with you these years, and I know you hear what I ask. I have claimed the Bible verses I need to claim as I need to rehearse, and you don't need to know what I have to say. You know what I think, but I say it out loud so you can hear it, and I claim those Bible verses in my heart that's the Word of God before you. What is the purpose? Is my lifestyle too fast? Am I too selfish? Do I have any time for you, God? Are you having any part of my life during the week as I go about my daily task? Are there problems that you have not given, that I've not given over to as of yet? The healing of the soul and the body are important in life, but you'll find out that many things today get in the way of the most important thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the saving of a soul that's on the road to hell is the most important business God's in. Amen. It's not just seeing that I'm happy. God won't see that I'm righteous. And it's in His Son that happens. And when I'm righteous, I'll be happier than I would ever be. And so will anyone else. And when I say that, it's His righteousness, not what you and I generate in this particular life. Today, many are taught that a real Christian need never be sick. That illness is a sign of a lack of faith, they say. But to believe this, one has to have their head stuck in the sand because they ignore the facts. People do get sick and people do die. How can you look at facts and begin to claim something that's the facts prove different? And then a lot of folks get deceived about who God is because they come to Him because they want something physically rather than the soul to be saved. And next thing you know, you got a bunch of people walking around who might have believed in God if they'd got the Word of God like they should, but they've become atheists now because it seemed like God never did nothing for them because they came to Him asking for something physical rather than to save their soul. Hospitals are full. Hospitals are still being built, new ones all the time. Oh, the tears that some healing fanatics causes over people who believe them and go away. And I've run across so many in my ministry that they cry and weep and don't understand what's wrong because someone says they did this, they'd be healed, and they're not healed, they're worse, yet they're still alive. That's a healing itself if you've got something and you're still alive. They drive people away from God into darkness of doubt and confusion, in fear or a search of healing at any price. Bible healing has nothing in common with the healing that is supposed to be taking place today. Brother, in the Bible, when healing took place, you could check it up. You could have the expert check it up, and you'd find that not just one, but all of them were genuine healed. Amen. That's Bible. God's Word is more important today in what He's getting across in His purpose than just our welfare as far as this earth is concerned. We say, preacher, well, if you don't believe that God can heal you, you've got weak faith. I've got news for you. I believe that God can heal me of anything that I would ever have. Amen. He made me. He can heal it. He can replace this body as good as He could make it to start with through procreation. By the way, when He made Adam and Eve, He took dirt to do it. A man or God who could do that don't have any trouble replacing and fixing this body. But I want you to know, I believe that God can heal me of anything that comes to me in this life. But I want you to know, if He does not heal me, that's not going to weaken my faith. Amen. My faith is the strongest thing I have. Because that has got to be in God, no matter where I'm at, no matter what's going on, no matter what condition I'm in, if I'm drawing my last breath, or if I'm breathing better than a newborn baby, it makes no difference to me. God Almighty is going to be trusted no matter where I'm at. It's not going to weaken my faith, because I believe in Him. I believe in Him. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here today. And I believe this book about Him. When I see men like David and these psalms and others say what they say and see the up and down they're in, that helps me. to understand God hears me. And there's got to be a purpose. And when that purpose comes, I'm so grateful to understand what's going on. I'm seeing you suffering strengthens our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh. And he said, I went to God and asked him three times. And God said, Paul, that's enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Because when you're weak, you're strong. I've seen that. I think of a dear brother going to meet the Lord now. And he was faithful to be in service one Sunday night, Wednesday night. Never missed a service. Very rare ever missed a service. And I think about the fact that when he found out he was going to die, I was visiting a few weeks before he died. He said, Pastor, he said, you know, I did what I thought to do and so forth, but he said, I never could witness like I wanted to, and I failed God in that. He said, I want you to know, since I've got this sickness I've got, he said, I have witnessed more in my life in the time I'm sick than I have my whole life since I was saved. He said, I was scared before, but now I'm bold. What have I got to lose? They say I'm dying. Well, he said, you know what happens? I don't have to go see them. They come to me. They come to see how I'm doing. And when they come, I just sit and talk to them about Jesus Christ. And say, you know what? They have enough pity for me. They'll sit and listen. And there's going to be some people in heaven, I believe, because the Lord allowed that dear brother to go home with him and rest. And he got witness in more the last few days and years days and months of his life than he did his whole Christian life. You tell me, in his weakness, he was strong for God. How many have you and I witnessed to in the last few days? Some of us have done a lot. But how many of us even witnessed even one person in the last week? We're strong sometimes in our weakness, more so than in our strength. Suffering strengthens our faith. That means now, number two, God will take care of his people. Our fiery trials today may not be literally furnished like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there's one thing for sure. Peter talks about there will be suffering, and Satan will throw his fiery trial darts at us. But there'll be real testing peers. You find men that you look at, like Augusta M. Toplady. He wrote that wonderful song it's called Rock of Ages. We sing it here from time to time. And I got a book a few minutes ago, and I marked these in here. And Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood, thy wounded side which flow, be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor? No, these for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. He wrote that wonderful song. And you look at him and you find he spent most of his life suffering with TB. And out of that weakness, that where God didn't seem to touch his body for that, came some of the greatest songs that blesses people in our particular day. More so than many messages that maybe people have preached in the past. When you go on, look at Charlotte Elliott. Wrote, just as I am without one plea. My, what a song. We sing it here so much at times at the invitation. Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and thou didst bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And he goes on, he talks about, I am and waiting to writ my soul one dark block. Verse 3 says, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting in fears within and without, this dear man of God. Well, this dear lady, she gave her life, she had a life of pain. And this song she wrote years ago that blesses people down through the years and probably been one of the most amazing songs that's sung for invitation for fundamental churches across this country, just as I am without one plea. Then you take Fanny Crosby and how she wrote many songs, and she was actually blind. And being blind, songs that she wrote, like this one, when she said, he hideth my soul. Oh my, bless the Lord. He said, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He goes on and said, to this, with numerous blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I'll sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. He hideth our soul. And then think about the one that she wrote, Blessed Assurance. I've sung that. I was a boy. I remember this been sung many times years ago, and you heard me talk about that. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And in this chorus, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Again, he said, perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture, burst in my sight, perfect submission, always at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. These people have blessed our heart through the years and songs that God laid on their heart in the depth of adversity at that time. These people walk with God and refuse to be defeated. They claim God's promises is, and they reminded him of his promises. Interesting thing, and I believe this more. Somebody will say, well, I don't think you ought to go and just make specifics. Yes, if you know something in this word and God has promised it, there's nothing wrong, and God gives us the opportunity as a child of his to come to his throne and say, dear God, I've read what you promised. I believe this. This is all I have. If you hadn't written it, if you hadn't promised it, there's no other way I know it. And dear God, I've read it in my heart. You know that I will, but he tells us to come and remind him of his promise. He don't have to be reminded, but he lets us do that. It helps us to know that God hears our prayer when we do those things in this particular life. Even Peter began his journey with Christ walking on water, but he ended it under trials. He was ordered not to preach by the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verse 18. He was placed in a maximum security cell, and God delivered him in Acts chapter 12. He was crucified upside down in his final hour. He was walking on water to begin his ministry, but he was crucified upside down in his final hour. Ladies and gentlemen, in that refinery such as that, you and I may find a different atmosphere in the refinery at times, but we have to be sure to know that all suffering for God's children is a refiner in this life. And in that refinery, we need to be composed. 1 Peter 4:12 said, don't think fiery trials are strange when they come upon you. Some people think that you're not right with God if they do come upon you. Peter said, don't you think it's strange? Go read it, 1 Peter 4:12. Don't think it's strange when you have fiery trials come upon you. In that refinery, we must be a Christian, verse 18 and 19 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Suffer for Christ, he says, not for sins of the body, no, but suffer for the cause of Christ. We know the refinery, we must be committed in verse 19 of that same chapter. It is to God through Christ. Why is it we must be composed? Why is it we must find ourselves walking as a Christian? Why is it we need to be committed? Because this brings glory to God. And God says anything for his glory is going to be for our good. So with God, valleys are sweeter than mountaintops without him. Fire is sweeter than a refreshing breeze without him. Hurt is sweeter than health without him. Pain is sweeter than comfort without God. Sacrifice is sweeter than luxury without God. Had there been no fiery furnace, ladies and gentlemen, we'd never heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Had there been no fiery furnace speaking spiritually, we'd never heard about Job. Why do we hear about these? Because these are people who, in the fiery times that Satan threw to them, the fiery darts of hell, they stood for the glory of God. They honored God. They brought glory to God. And God delivered them. And he'll do the same for us. He'll do the same for us. I thought about, I have not had to live in the furnace long. Most of us have not. At the same time, some folks have to stay there a long time. Brother Roy Johnson, bless his heart, years ago, I led him and his wife to the Lord one day out here on a farm. He had a farm. And they were eating lunch. The last 3 to 4 years of his life, he was in bed in a fetal position, but arthritis could not even move. It let someone move him. Many times we got together and prayed. And I'll tell you, when you see people going through these things, some folks stay there all the time. For I have not personally lived there long. I've spent some time with people who have been there. Moses said in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Don't give this up for this world, because it's the only thing that can help us in the time of need. I thought as I finished this lesson, message in last night early and late and this morning early, I walked up to the edge and tried to encourage many who were in the last few weeks of their life. And I felt helpless. I've had the privilege to lead a few to the Lord right before they died. But even death is helpless. And I know this, I found out for sure, we're helpless without Him. We have to trust Him. Oh God, we have to trust Him even when you look at someone and they pass from this life into the other life. You have to trust Him and hope and pray somehow or another the influence of their life had been to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you suffer, God will use it to strengthen your faith. And He tells us, don't suffer because of sin and things of the flesh that we do against God. If we suffer, let it be that Satan throws a fiery dart because we stand for Him, because we are bold for Him, trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. God will take care of His people. He's promised that. He said in Psalm 91, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, Psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He's my God. In Him will I trust. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's righteousness. All I can say is bless His holy name, because I know that He understands where we're at. He is our refuge. I read a true story of a fellow who lost his wife. He was up in age. He lived in the backside on over just about in a house, and some people were concerned about him living by himself. You have someone, a mother, dad. We have my mother lives by herself now. She don't live in the backside on over, but it's bad when you can't hardly get out of a chair, let alone get up and run, to be by yourself all the time, especially at night. But this dear brother was by himself, and someone asked him one day, Mr. So-and-so, he said, aren't you afraid to stay here all by yourself? He said, well, not really. He said, what about at night? Aren't you, if it's dark and, you hear everything, it's quiet, and aren't you afraid to stay here by yourself? He said, not at all. Absolutely not. He said, I can't understand why. He said, because I want you to know I thank God for Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to know when I get ready for bed, he said, faith in God closes the door at night for me. And when I get up in the morning, he said, that God's mercy opens the door for me every morning. He said, I'm not afraid at all. I don't think I've arrived that place yet. I still have a little bit about fear. By the way, even last night when some lightning struck around and shook the foundation of our house, it kind of shook me up a little bit. Barbara sleeps, she didn't hear. Or she said she didn't. But it didn't mean that I won't trust in God. It showed me that I am human. Amen? And it shows me that God can show you and I whatever we face. At that moment, something may shake us up, but we're connected to one who's never going to turn us loose. Amen. It's like a golden hook in our jaw. The word of God that's in our soul swells up in the mount of fear when Satan tries to get us to make doubt everything that God has said. It's like the word of God in our soul swells up and a golden hook in our mouth leads up to the truth of God's word, and God just fills us up to know, son, hey, that's all right. I understand the flesh. I made it. I know you're just dust, but there's a new creation in you that's in the very nature of God. Peter said it's divine nature, the new creation in Christ Jesus. That is what gets us through it, folks. And I say to you again, I believe God can do anything I ask Him, and until He shows me otherwise, I believe He will. I believe that God will answer prayer for sickness, but if He don't, it don't weaken my faith one bit. If I go to God and I have to be in the fire furnace for months, and I've done that a few times in my 52 years of serving Him, it doesn't weaken my faith one bit, because I know He's still in charge. My Heavenly Father, please bless us as we look at this. God is our refuge. He's our present help in the time of trouble. You can bring peace in the midst of our adversities. Dear God, the peace of God can give, peace with God can give us peace every time we face things in this life. These bodies are frail. They're dying since the day we were born. Cells die and reproduce. And eventually they won't reproduce themselves. That's just common sense. Sin has caused that, the sin nature. These bodies, time to be as old I am now, this body has replaced itself probably 6 or 7 times or maybe more. in the cells, new cells that have died, old cells that have died, new cells that have come on the scene. But one of these days, there's going to be a section of this body that will not replace itself because of sin. It is the curse upon human life that leads us out of this world, out of time. The wages of sin is death, Paul said, Romans 6:23. But the gift of life is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad when this body fails me, I know there's a new creation in Christ Jesus that God has not only created, but is preserving and will deliver it one day with the promise that he made to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Dear Father, thank you for this book with the promises made to us. Let us find them in our own time. Many things you said to Israel don't apply to me now, but at the same time, Lord, I can learn from them as they served you in their capacity in different ways that they served you. I can learn even now and study in their lives. Thank you for the general information given about how trouble can come to us and then see how specifics like Job and David did. And now we've heard the message of where we're living at today. Help someone, Lord. I don't know. One person may have needed this message enough. It's worth my time. Please help someone this week. I ask in Jesus' wonderful name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.